Hello, this is Sarah with the Southern Champaign County Today, dated June 17th, 2026. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, "Severe Thunderstorms Create High Winds, Cleanup for Tolono Public Works Department." Alarms and sirens went off in southern Champaign County June 11th as phones displayed the severe thunderstorm warning that was going through the area. Diane Ducey took these pictures in downtown Tolono as the Fun Day Committee wrapped up their planning meeting quickly to get home to family and take shelter. Tolono Public Works crews were called to help with storm damage as broken tree branches fell on cable TV wires on Walnut. Tolono Village Office Secretary Brandy Dalton said there would be a brush pickup in the next week to get caught up after the high winds caused damage to trees and some property, with reports of some power outages too. Photos show the road with water on it. Second photo shows an image of a man cutting down tree branches in the back of a truck. Committee plans for higher cost for Freedom Celebration. The Champaign County Freedom Celebration Committee planning America's 250th on the 4th of July has seen donations going down over the past few years as rising costs of fireworks has made volunteers search for other ways to make the budget ends meet for our area's premier patriotic party. Stevie J broadcasting team had acquired a Keaton Wagler signed shirt after the then 18-year-old freshman player's 46-point game against Purdue in January of 2026. As Wagler enters the NBA draft June 23rd and 24th in Brooklyn, New York, local interest in his story put it as a top prize on Flag Day, June 14th, with the randomly selected winner, who made at least a $25 donation at July4th.net, being from Tolono. Illini and St. Louis Cardinal tickets were also drawn, with more prizes to be given out before the fireworks on the 4th of July, including $250, tickets to a NASCAR event in Indy July 25th, and Busey donated some golf-themed baskets. Just before Flag Day, on Saturday, June 13th, representatives from the Champaign County Freedom Celebration came to the Cattle Bank location at First and University, where the Champaign County Historical Museum kicked off their events to celebrate USA's semi-quincentennial with a flag ceremony, a proclamation from the City of Champaign's Mayor Deb Frank Finan, music from the Toast of Champaign, and the Declaration of Independence read by four people in our community. Festive buttons, copies of the Declaration of Independence, as well as refreshments, were handed out to around 75 people attending this special kickoff event. The Champaign County Freedom Celebration volunteers present were all smiles as the History Museum members talked about what an honor it was to be tapped as Grand Marshals in the 4th of July parade at 11:05 a.m. with their famous antique popcorn wagon as one of the units in their entry at the beginning of the parade. That will also be out the Stadium Terrace, Lot 31, during the evening program from 6 to 9 p.m. Those attending will hear the band Captain Rat and the Blind Rivets play music before the flag ceremony from the Champaign Fire Department, patriotic music, and brief commemorative speeches as a tribute to our nation and community's history. As the program wrapped in the parking lot across from the Champaign Police Station, the museum president, TJ Blakeman, reminded those attending about the Champaign Public Library having over 20 items on display June 18th through 21st as a special exhibit showing signatures from many of our founding fathers of our nation, including George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and the Common Sense publication from Thomas Paine, just to name a few. Walk-ups are welcome, of course, but those wanting to attend without a wait are encouraged to reserve their time online to see this Forging Liberty attraction by visiting the website champaigncountyhistory.org. The Tolono Historical Society and Veterans Museum Beginnings. Funday has selected the Tolono Historical Society and Veterans Museum as Grand Marshal for the Tolono Funday Celebration. The Society was established in May and first met June 13, 2003, in the former newspaper building at 101 East Holden Street. Newspapers were published from the building for about 100 years, said Bill Kirby. According to Alice Strickland, there was a grocery store prior to the newspaper that was run by Barbara Kleiss's grandfather. Also, there was a building in the back of the building. There was a library in the back of the building. Bill, in 2004, said that this building marks the location where the history of Tolono, now covering 148 years of discovery, settlement, and development, is being collected, studied, and written. It offers interesting programs and a place to learn about Tolono's past. In December 2003, records show that the officers were President Bill Kirby, Vice President John Frothingham, Secretary Janet Clare, and Treasurer Marge Bielski. Those officers served on the Board of Governors along with Barbara Barnhart, Anna Jane Bretzlaff, Marcia Davis, Lauren Hardin, Alila McCleary, and Alice Strickland. Membership, in addition to the Board of Governors, included Denny Davis, Betty Dyer, Kay Frothingham, Norma Kirby, Mark Loving Foss, Virginia Loving Foss, Gus and Gladys Maggio, Frankie Riefsteck, Betty Sampson, and Doris Smalley. While 21 folks pioneered the Society's first year, only two of the 21 remain active. 18 are deceased. This small group of Tolono area residents formed an organization to preserve Tolono history. This endeavor began while Bill Kirby, visiting with friends who liked to tell stories of Tolono past, decided to form a society. It started with collecting old photos and memorabilia documenting Tolono's 1856 founding. Items emphasizing agriculture, Lincoln history, railroads, and trains were brought to life through old newspapers and items collected. Barbara Barnhart mentioned that researching the history of our community is a way to reinforce who we are. Five U.S. presidents had visited Tolono: Abraham Lincoln, Harry Truman, Dwight Eisenhower, Richard Nixon, and Ronald Reagan. Several other dignitaries have stepped foot on Tolono Township soil. Even if all we do is to provide resources for future historians seeking out Tolono information, we will have done our job. The Sydney Scoop by Anne Roten. Both the Sydney American Legion Post 433, Sunday, June 14th Flag Day, American Flag Retirement Ceremony, and Monday, June 15th regular monthly meeting should have taken place. Look for a feature and a report from your correspondent in next week's edition of the Southern Champaign County Today paper. The Sydney American Legion Post 433 are running a meat raffle again this year. There are 750 tickets to sell, 10 tickets per book for $10 a ticket. The meat being raffled is beef. The winner will be announced at the end of the Saturday, July 25th, Sydney Fun Days car show, and the winner can take a meat or a cash amount to be announced. Tickets can be purchased from the Sydney American Legion Post 433, Commander Bill Hench, who can be reached at 217-649-6989. Sydney American Legion Post 433 Adjutant/Service Officer Bill McLean, who can be reached at 217-390-2196, or any other Sydney American Legion Post 433 member. Winston's Old Bank and the Sydney Saloon are teaming up to host a Saturday, June 20th Street Fest in the downtown Sydney area between Byron and Railroad Streets from 2 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. The Back Porch Boys will perform from 2 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. Sammy and the Coltrane will perform from 5 to 7:30 p.m. and Braden Pridemore will perform from 8 to 10:30 p.m. Bring your own lawn chairs to this event is recommended. Come to downtown Sydney on Saturday, June 20th from 2 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. and enjoy some great music and camaraderie. The next regular monthly meeting of the Village of Sydney Board of Trustees will take place on Monday, July 6th at 7 p.m. in the Sydney Community Building located at 211 East Main Street in Sydney. All monthly meetings, unless otherwise posted, are held in the Sydney Community Building meeting room. Have a wonderful week. If you or your organization have news items you want published, drop a line to Ann Roten at P.O. Box 491, Sydney, Illinois, 61877, or call 217-688-2812 between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. Don't hesitate to leave a message if there's no answer. News items must be turned in by 10 a.m. each Friday to be published in the following week's paper. Items submitted after the deadline will be published in the following week's column. Pastor Stahl's Weekly Message of Faith. Hello, everyone. I hope everyone is having a great summer so far. The kids are out of school, the pools are open, and the grass is growing. Our vacation Bible school at Countryside UMC will be June 23rd, 24th, and 25th from 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. each day. It promises to be a lot of fun. Bring your kids. Last week, I got new glasses, finally. The last time I was at the eye doctor was 2018, so I think I was due. My eyes had gotten weaker over the years, so I was wearing reading glasses over my regular glasses. It looked kind of silly, but it helped me see. When I got my new glasses last week, everything looked clear and sharp and in focus. I didn't need to wear two pairs of glasses anymore. Amazing when that happens. LOL. I remember the first time I realized I was having trouble seeing. I was in eighth grade, and all the chalkboards at school looked fuzzy. I had to squint to see anything. When I put on my first pair of glasses, everything was sharp and in focus, and my grades improved. Imagine that. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus heals a blind man, but he did it in stages. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. Then, spitting on the man's eyes, he laid his hands on him and asked, "Can you see anything now?" The man looked around. "Yes," he said, "I see people, but I can't see them very clearly. They look like trees walking around." Then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again, and his eyes were opened. His sight was completely restored, and he could see everything clearly. Mark 8:22-25. What a blessing to have your eyes healed by the Lord Jesus. This man was no longer stumbling around in the dark, but his eyes were opened by God himself. He saw everything clear and in focus, and didn't need a new pair of glasses. Even though the disciples could see with their eyes, they were spiritually blind to what Jesus was doing. He was bringing people from the darkness to the light in a spiritual sense, so they could understand that Jesus was the Savior of the world. The disciples' eyes were finally opened after Jesus' resurrection. Some people accepted Jesus right away and experienced the peace that passes all understanding. They were forgiven and set free. The woman caught in adultery was set to be stoned to death, but Jesus forgave her. The religious leaders dropped their rocks and left her alone. Jesus simply told her, "Go and sin no more." The rich man came to Jesus and asked what he must do to inherit eternal life, and Jesus told him to sell everything he had and to follow him. The rich man turned away from Jesus and refused to follow him. His possessions were more important than following the Master. I pray that we all have 20/20 spiritual vision and follow Jesus down the road to discipleship. We will clearly see that we have made the right decision. God bless all of you. Pastor Jeff Stahl, Countryside in Ogden, United Methodist Churches. The Summer Solstice. In the night sky, by David Leake. Coming up this Sunday, we have the summer solstice and the official first day of summer. The sun will be placed about the Tropic of Cancer on our Earth on this day at 3:25 a.m. If you live there, the sun will appear straight up at noon. We'll see the sun 73.5 degrees high, not straight up, at noon, and we have our longest day at 15 hours and 1 minute. Solstice means sun still. Ancient sky watchers, possibly using the shadow of a stick, would notice the sun's altitude doesn't change much day by day during this time of the year. Why not find a stick or a pole or the like in your yard and take a photo of it with your phone, then repeat the photo in December? You may be surprised at the difference in shadow length. We won't experience sunset this weekend until about 8:26 p.m. Also, check out where the sun sets. We're taught the sun sets in the west, but it's really more northwest this time of the year. The days will start to get shorter in about a week, but don't let that affect your summer plans. This weight loss program is an exercise in futility. Ramblin' Man by David Porter. Ads keep popping up on my computer for exercise plans. Since my computer seems to know more about me than I know about myself, I figure I should pay attention. It's the only thing I can afford. Most of the ads are geared towards older men. Check. As such, they're low impact. Check again. The prevailing ads are for chair exercises. Hey, if the chair wants to exercise, who am I to stand in the way? Yes, Mike Carroll, that pun was for you. It's kind of an implied pun. Chair, stand. Anywho, I thought exercising while sitting might work for me, because I sit a lot. Sitting and lying down take up 90% of my time. The other 10% is walking between the chair and the bed. Walking is exercise, so that counts. I don't need to exercise to lose weight. I'm in my 60s, but I still wear the same pant size I wore in high school. My legs are no longer now than they were then. I need to exercise for general health and stamina, which became evident last week when I went to plant a bush in the yard. I had to dig a hole in the ground, just a small hole. Have you tried digging a hole lately? It can't be done. If I had a body to bury, it would decompose before I could get the hole dug. The little hole for the bush took 30 minutes. 5 minutes of digging, plus 25 minutes of recuperating from digging. The next bush better come with a backhoe. Just out of curiosity, I checked into the free chair workout plan I keep seeing on my social media feed. The word free was used loosely. It's free to fill out the forms, but the plan is $44 a month. I feel lighter already. Apparently, the problem is that my wallet is weighing me down. There's a simple fix for that. I can just take it out of my pocket. Well, I'll think about it some more. I'm already sitting down right now, so I figured I'm halfway there. One of my exercise hurdles is motivation. The price tag just zapped that for me. I want to feel good, not poor. In all seriousness, exercise is important and you should do it. Let me know how it works out. I'll be right here weighing my options and exercising my sedentary rights. Copyright 2026 by David Porter, who can be reached at presseditor1@gmail.com. Saving all that money, I feel better already. Ramblings from the Village Idiot. Before the recent rains, I had to resort to watering my garden beds, my new prairie plants, and my jewel weed. With about 4 inches of rain during the second week of June, I'm looking forward to taking a break from schlepping 125 feet of garden hose around my yard. The high winds the night of June 11th took down a bunch of my plants. Some can be righted, others are for the compost heap. Residential landscaping with native prairie plants is a dynamic process. The cast of characters in some areas changes from year to year. Last year's new stand of sunflowers on Volunteer Ridge did not appear this year. Sometimes a plant outgrows the area it was placed in, and it has to be removed. Sometimes a long-established plant simply curls up and dies. But by and large, prairie perennials in a spot they like will do fine, with a minimum of watering. However, you can't just plant them and walk away. For one thing, weeds like to grow just as much. Many are annuals which grow fast, produce incredible numbers of seeds, and die. Thorough weeding is laborious and time-consuming, but is an effective means of control. I've noticed a marked reduction in the populations of a number of the peskiest weeds compared to previous years, despite last year's explosion of weeds. Of course, new one keeps coming up, from seeds in the soil, or new seeds delivered by the wind, by birds, and by terrestrial creatures. In addition, prairie plants need support. In a natural prairie landscape, they get that support from other plants, often in large thickets, and they tend to flop over, which helps spread their seeds. In the tall grass prairie, the plants grew so high that a man on horseback couldn't see over them. That is not for a residential area, so you need a substitute for the thickets. Posts and stiff vinyl-coated wire work well. Rebar posts for the smaller plants, longer posts for the taller ones. The wire is strong enough to support even the largest plants. Landscape twine is sufficient for smaller plants needing support. Right now, the flowers on my penstemons and common milkweed are fading. The butterfly weed is past its peak, and the purple coneflowers are starting to bloom. The Monarda, gray-headed coneflowers, blazing stars, and brown-eyed Susans are getting ready to put on their yearly show starting in a few weeks. I have a couple of oddball New England asters blooming. They generally don't bloom until mid-September. I am not a native plant purist. My grassy areas are full of white clover, a European plant. It started blooming in April and has been blooming again after I mow down the faded flowers. Honeybees, also from Europe, get a taste of the old country. My poppies are fading, just as my zinnias are starting to bloom. My cosmos and old-fashioned vining petunias are starting to bloom. I have a neighbor with plants growing higher than a 6-foot fence, and their attractive flowers are blooming right now. They are flourishing with no effort on his part. Unfortunately, they're Canadian thistle, an invasive alien weed. It would take very little effort to chop them all down. Their presence makes the property look derelict, along with the clutter he keeps on the public right-of-way, and on his front porch facing the highway through town. Not much I can do about that, but it helps me redouble my own efforts to make my own yard look bright and cheerful in the warm months. Kurt Foster. Philo Library Weekly News, June Programs. What a week weather-wise. We hope you were all safe and sound during the extreme weather last week, and that is enough to last the rest of the year as far as I'm concerned. Let me tell you about the new acquisitions, then we'll progress to remaining activities for the summer. Daughters of the Sun and Moon by Lisa C. is available for checkout. We also have 3 new DVDs. Jason Statham stars in Shelter. This is a special request from one of our patrons, and I apologize for not purchasing it sooner. Normally, Statham's movies do not go unnoticed. And then we have 2 animated PG movies for the kids, Goat and Choppers. We still have a lot of programs for the month of June. June 16th, 1 to 2 p.m., rock painting. Ages, kindergarten and up. Reserve a spot now. June 24th, 1:30 to 2:30 p.m., scaly encounters. Champaign County Park District presents this hands-on interactive program. Everyone is invited. June 25th, 1 to 2 p.m., birdhouse/heart box painting. Must sign up for event as supplies are limited. Specify which project at time of sign up. Call 217-684-2896. Grades K through 12. June 30th, 1 to 2 p.m. Outdoor games, grade kindergarten and up. The summer reading program continues from June 1st to July 31st. Stop in and learn more. And don't forget recipes for the cookbook. We're creating a new community cookbook and need your favorite recipes to make this a cookbook that everyone will want a copy of. Call or stop in for details. Thanks for reading. Illinois distributes first $25 million to local pharmacies. The funding was generated by a fee levied on pharmaceutical middlemen. Chicago. Governor J.B. Pritzker announced Friday that 434 Illinois pharmacies will receive nearly $25 million in support, the first distribution of annual funding established through legislation he signed last year. The fund was designed to assist pharmacies most at risk of closure or financial strain, especially those in rural and low-income communities with limited healthcare access. The pot was split equally between all eligible applicants, with each pharmacy receiving $56,892. Local pharmacies are often one of the most accessible and affordable points of care for working families, seniors, and Medicaid patients, providing medications, vaccinations, and trusted healthcare services, Pritzker said in a news release. The money was established under bipartisan legislation Pritzker signed last July. The bill, known as the Prescription Drug Affordability Act, put new regulations on pharmacy benefit managers, or PBMs, companies that are responsible for negotiating drug prices between employer health insurance plans and pharmaceutical drug companies. They have been the target of intense scrutiny in recent years, facing accusations of steering patients toward their own affiliated pharmacies and designating healthcare pricing formulas that boost their own profits rather than patient savings, including a lawsuit from the Federal Trade Commission against the three largest PBMs for their alleged use of anti-competitive practices to artificially inflate insulin prices. The legislation prohibited PBMs from steering customers towards large pharmacies in which they have a financial interest, often to the detriment of smaller independent pharmacies, and required they pay a fee based on the number of individuals in the state enrolled in the PBM's plans. At the time the legislation passed, a lobbying organization represented the PBMs criticized the bill as misguided, and said it would have little to no impact on high prescription drug prices set by Big Pharma. Pritzker signs healthcare legislation. The first $25 million in fees collected were placed in a special fund for independent pharmacies, which can use the money to support existing operations, as well as expansions of business hours and new offerings, such as telepharmacy services, remote consultations, and medication delivery. But the funding is not constrained to specific spending options, allowing pharmacies to use it however they see fit. For Save More Pharmacy in Verdon, Illinois, that looks like a new parking lot. Limitations with parking, the lack of a drive-thru, and space constraints have made it difficult to expand the services our community deserves, says Save More Pharmacy's president David Falk. The funding has allowed the Verdon location to partner with Carlinville Hospital to construct a new 3,500-square-foot facility next to a new clinic, featuring ample parking, modern technology, and a drive-thru, and employing additional staff.